Greetings from Long Time No See the Podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Ons, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. My guest today is comedian Bassem Youssef, who spoke to me about his spark, the Billy Joel song, Pressure. But we cover a lot of other ground as well. We talked about the TV show The Boys. We talked about how Bassem deals with the pressures of success. Sounds pretty interesting, doesn't it? So let's hear it. Quick Bassem facts. Heart surgeon turned comedian Bassem Youssef is known as the John Stewart of the Middle East, with his quick wit and humorous worldviews that are thought-provoking and funny. You may have seen his interview with Piers Morgan that has 21 million views and counting, or his appearances on Rami or The Problem with Jon Stewart. Now, Youssef is bringing his unique brand of comedy to fans across the globe through his dual-language shows. He is performing back-to-back one-hour shows, with the first being in English and the latter show in Arabic. To date, he is the only comic touring the world doing two different hours in two different languages a night. Quick Pressure facts. Pressure is a 1982 song by American musician Billy Joel from the album The Nylon Curtain. It was released as the album's first single and was a hit for Joel, reaching number 20 on the US Billboard Hot 100. The synthesizer-driven rock song tells about the pressure of creating and the pressure of being a provider. And there you have it. Time to skip along to the main course. Here comes my chat with Bassem Youssef about pressure. Can you remember hearing Pressure for the first time, being turned on to it, any of that?
Well, the first time I heard it was I was watching The Boys, season 2, episode 3. And I heard this tune, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I was like, what is this song? And then a brilliant choice of the producer is that each episode of season 2 was a Billy Joel theme.
Mm.
So if you watch season 2, each song, each episode was a Billy Joel theme, which is, I think it was absolutely brilliant. And I discovered that song and I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then when I was touring lately in Australia and I don't know how come this song came up with, because of there's the pressure of the touring and the pressure after the Piers Morgan show and the exposure again. And I found out that like all my life I've been living that kind of pressure. So I kind of decided to make it the theme song of my my walk on music on stage. And maybe it's the theme song of my life now.
Yeah, amazing. So were you a Billy Joel fan before that?
No, not in particular. I liked a lot of his songs, but like I think this song Pressure was kind of hit the nail, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. The Boys is such a good show.
It's an incredible show. This is why I got the inspiration of like, you know, Israel is not, you think it's Israel's Superman, but it's actually the Homelander.
Yeah. Yeah. That synthesizer part is so like instantly recognizable in Pressure and ads is like a perfect complement to a show like The Boys. I think it's been in a lot of other film and TV stuff, but like you said, that kind of like, it's like,
yeah, it's like, what is this tune? It was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Do you watch the spinoff one as well, Gen Z?
Yeah, I started watching it, but like I thought, but like I have to go back to it. This one, it started off very well, like University V or what is it called?
Gen V.
Yes. Yeah, brilliant. I think the people behind that show are just like brilliant people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they will hear me and cast me in that. I would love to be any kind of villain or bad. I'm happy to get injected by Compound V and be on that show.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure they're listening. The Hollywood bigwigs are always just following me around everywhere. So yeah, it's like, without, you know, getting on too much of a tangent about that show, it to me strikes this perfect balance between like drama and comedy and action and superhero stuff, and I'm totally obsessed with it.
No, the great question that this show got, like, superheroes, these are like people with unlimited power.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to have that kind of unlimited power? And it says a lot about like the role of the America in the world, a lot of superpowers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what if like these superpowers were not as what we think they are? Maybe the whole idea about like these ideas and thoughts, like it takes a lot. It just makes you think a lot about like our position and our part of the world and what America means to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want America to be Superman.
Yeah.
Is it America who is Superman or is it Homelander?
Right, right. And I think that's something that has pissed off a lot of kind of alt-right, you know, men who sit in their basement and never get out of their basement and watch that show and are like, yeah, it's like, supports America. And it's like, this is the best. And it's really like fascism. And the more that that's become prominent and the more that you kind of, it's pushed to the forefront, what kind of character Homelander is, it's like,
yeah,
they don't like that. They haven't liked the more explicit stuff. Did you see the Super Bowl commercial for that show?
The Super Bowl commercial for the boys? No, I haven't.
It's really clever. It's like very, you know, it's like a commercial for Vought, whatever the organization is that controls it. And it's like, you know, showing cornfields and like, you know, pickup trucks and saying like, oh, America means this and this. And it's all kind of nonsense. And it's such a good parody of something that would be like a sincere Super Bowl commercial. But, yeah, I just loved it.
Mm.
Anyway, this Billy Joel song, another thing that really sticks out to me. Have you seen the video for it?
No, I haven't. I only heard it.
Yeah, it's like the most 80s MTV style that you can ever imagine. Just really like, you know, lots of cuts and lots of you know, video screens showing different things and whatever. It's like kind of all over the place, but it was directed by this guy who has done music videos for basically everyone you could ever imagine and was really, really prominent in the 80s. He directed Video Killed the Radio Star for the Buggles, which was the first video ever shown on MTV, and stuff for like Duran Duran and Elton John and Fleetwood Mac and whatever. But yeah, check it out sometime. It's like the visual style really complements the kind of frenetic energy of it. It's really good. So just in terms of the going back to the original theme of pressure, the way that Billy Joel has described what he was feeling when he wrote this song is probably not a very universal experience, that it was like the pressure of trying to come up with more hit songs for a record. So I don't know that everybody in the world can be like, yes, I have been one of the most successful songwriters in the world too, and I know exactly how that feels. But I guess artistic pressure, pressure to kind of top yourself, pressure to kind of find new ways to reach your audience. Like, is that something that you relate to?
Absolutely. Like, I always feel that I'm going to be running out of juice and whatever I have. I don't want to be like a one trick pony. Maybe I have an hour of material now that I tour with. Maybe I will not be able to do another hour.
Hmm.
Maybe I perform well in interviews. Maybe I'm not going to perform well in the next interview. Maybe I do like good public speaking, but maybe the next one is going to be a flop. And I always, and this is kind of like the pressure that kind of cripples me sometimes. And I try to deal with it of kind of appreciating what I am right now instead of making it worse for me by thinking about what I'm going to do in the future and if it's going to fail or not. So it is that kind of like continuous demand of like performing and doing well and delivering. And I wonder if there was a certain point where I'm not going to be able to do that. And maybe what I have is a fluke or just like a strike of luck that I'm not going to be able to continue and carry through with because I don't have that much of enough talent of me, which basically talks about how much of an imposter syndrome I'm being suffering from. So yeah, it's been always in my mind about that for a considerable amount of time. It's always been there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that feeling, a certain amount of imposter syndrome, a certain amount of kind of doubt existing in people's minds is healthy. It makes you feel like you still have things to achieve. You still have things to strive for, as long as it's not something that's like all consuming. But yeah, definitely that feeling of like wanting to make sure that you still have things to say, that, you know, you're doing things that resonate with people instead of just putting whatever stuff out. And when people don't have that little seed of doubt, sometimes it can be everything I do is amazing and it doesn't matter what the quality is. I'm just going to keep churning out stuff and people are going to lap it up, whatever. So yeah, that I think that is a healthy philosophy there.
Mm-hmm.
But do you find that the biggest pressures that you get are from yourself, that it's not from external sources? I mean, but how does that manifest?
Yeah, a lot of it is coming from me. A lot of it is coming from me trying to be the best that I can and kind of overperform and overachieve, because I always feel that I am on very shaky ground, that I could fail at any moment. So There's always this kind of pressure that, like, will I be able to deliver, to do it? And it's been very difficult.
Yeah.
And there's always the fear of failing, the fear of not being at the same par, or like, or what people expect of me, because being there in that kind of exposure in the public eye, there's, it always comes with this pressure. And a lot of this, I'm being cornered into a place where I have to be the best no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And being in live performance is even adds more pressure to that, because you get the reaction is immediate. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's something that Billy Joel has talked about. When I was doing a little research for this, there are these interviews with him where he was did a couple of talks in front of students in the 80s, around the time that album came out, and just saying, there's the pressure that comes from writing material. There's the pressure that comes from recording it. There's a pressure that comes from figuring out what's the shape of your tour. There's a pressure that comes from the actual performances and being on stage. And he's like, sometimes I just forget the words. And I'm like, oh.
The pressure of like, am I selling enough tickets? It's going to be, the audience is going to be good? Will they respond to my material? There's a million things around it. And it consumes you and it takes away from you. And it eats you up, basically. And it's funny that, like, you have to be in a job that you have to make people happy, whether by music or by comedy. But you are riddled and burdened by all of that all the time.
Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here. But we'll be right back. You know, specifically what that song is about is writer's block. He was saying, the story is that he was sitting, feeling really frustrated. He needed to have a couple more songs for the album. And his secretary came in and said, oh, this is, you know, must be tough for you. I guess you must be under a lot of pressure. That might be a good thing to write a song about. And he's like, thank you. And, you know, inspiration strikes. But do you have... do you ever have moments where you feel like you're kind of stuck when you're writing stuff, when you have ideas?
All the time. It's that's why it's the theme song of my life. I think it's the pressure to deliver and the pressure to perform is very hard, and you always think that you're not good enough.
Yeah. Do you have go-to techniques? I mean, if you are in that position, you have to deal with it on a case-by-case basis?
Yeah. I still haven't cracked the code of how to deal with that. And sometimes I feel I'm too lucky, or I came up with something just out of pure luck. So I don't have a manual to kind of recreate the moments of inspiration.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess in some ways it could be a bit of a burden if you have to like recreate exact, like the very specific circumstances to feel like you're getting the right inspiration. It's kind of like, you know, people who play the same lottery numbers every week. And if you miss the lottery numbers one week and your numbers win, you feel terrible. But if you just get random numbers every time, it's like, well, you know, I didn't choose these. It's, you know, it's rolling the dice.
Yeah. I don't have like a routine in order to kind of inspire inspiration. I think it just, I'm not superstitious like that. You know, the people who have to wear the same shirt for like when this team is playing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like these kind of like rituals.
Yeah.
I just try to write when I can, and maybe read or watch stuff that can maybe inspire me. But it's really different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a routine. I haven't put that. There's some people who have a routine who can sit on the desk for a certain time to a certain time. I haven't got that down yet.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm an actor, and I have been talking a lot recently about artistic practice and, you know, the way that people get to where they need to be to perform, or, you know, different acting techniques that people use and whether method acting is good or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And the, you know, to me, the crux of it is it doesn't really matter what you do to get to where you need to be, as long as you're not hurting other people, as long as you're not, you know, making other people's lives difficult by doing it. But artistic practice is so individual. And that's part of artistry, is that it's like this, you know, innate thing in you that comes from you and is about who you are as an individual. So yeah, I mean, does that resonate? Do you feel like, does your process feel like something that is unique to you, or does it feel like something that you don't even think about that much?
No, I think it's very random. I don't have a process, which adds to my anxiety that I don't have a process. I don't have something to, like in medicine, you know, that if you study from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock, you have a process. But in creativity, you can, it's not about studying.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know how to get there. And I'm scared. I have a one solid hour now that I'm very happy touring with, but I'm scared about writing my next hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be good or not.
Right. So is that always, I mean, you've touched on this a little bit, but like, do you get to a point where you can kind of take a pause and say, I have this body of work that I'm happy with, that I'm excited about, I'm going to put future plans out of my mind? Or is it always like thinking about the next thing, even when the thing you're working on is complete?
I've been trying to kind of live in the moment right now and not add more anxiety to thinking about what I'm going to do in the future, because it's very tiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would imagine when you've got, you know, when you're touring, when you've got other stuff, other priorities, trying to add the next thing on or worry about other things in the world is a lot.
Yeah.
So the you know, you've talked about where you heard this song and kind of what appealed to you about it. But can you just tell me about the feeling that it gives you when you walk out on stage? Like, you hear that music playing, and does that enhance the experience for you? Does that make you feel excited?
Yes, because it has a good beat to it. I always play the last 22 seconds of it, which is the ending of like Pressure, and then the theme, ta 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 ta. So it doesn't have a lot of words, lyrics, that 20 seconds, but it is the feeling of it and the music. It uplifts us, and it kind of like, it ends exactly as people are clapping. So I feel like, okay, I make Pressure my theme song, so I'm going to befriend the pressure instead of being scared of it. So when I'm there and it plays at the beginning of where I should feel the most pressure, as if it's kind of like it makes you immune for it, which is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess having those kind of like, you know, I don't know if what the psychological term for that would be, but just having those triggers that it's like something that can instantly calm you down, something that kind of takes you to a place where you just feel like this is the situation where I should be the most stressed out, but I have something that can, you know, if not eliminate that, reduce it. That's a lucky thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long has that been your opening song now?
Since Australia.
Okay. Yeah, and that was like,
I mean, it's very recent, but again, with the newfound fame after the interviews there, the pressure has been even more. So maybe my brain kind of like recalled it and put it back into my routine.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, you know, it is very fitting when you're feeling like there's, you know, more eyes on you, more demand for what you're doing, that you know, having that theme incorporated makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Yeah. The song itself, like the song structure, you know, talking about the synths, but also just, I think one thing that Billy Joel does is very clever with is being able to choose moments for kind of musical punctuation. And shouting pressure throughout is like something that I think in less capable hands could feel like he's really beating you over the head with it. But it feels very natural. It feels like it really is an enhancement, and he's getting his point across with this really catchy song and just like really banging that drum over and over again.
Yeah. And I like when he says, like, here we are with your Peter Pan advice. And I wonder, what does it mean? Does he mean by with Peter Pan advice? Is it the Peter Pan advice, like people who are not under the same kind of pressure, who just like gives you the advice like, oh, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? They're like overly optimistic. Because I think like Peter Pan is like, oh, never grow old. We're gonna never grow old. And it's kind of like this kind of a carefree kind of advice that doesn't come from a place of experience, but a place of ignorance of your own situation. At least that's how I look at it. Here you are with your Peter Pan advice. It's like, what did you say? Here you are with your faith and your Peter Pan advice. Your faith. You have like a kind of faith in the goodness of things and how things are easy. And you're coming here since from the comfort of your couch and coming to lecture me, what should I do with my life? Which has been also like a constant theme. Hmm. How people like that on the sidelines, it's very easy for them to criticize, to give you advice about how to live your life and how you should do. As if like, and then I said like, you guys don't know shit. And just like frustrates you, like how people are giving you. I mean, you're an actor, and I'm sure that you struggle as an actor coming in and getting parts, and you have people like just like sitting there and giving you pointers of what to do. It's like, you guys have no idea.
Mm.
And it's very easy for people to just like sit down and preach. That's why I kind of try not to give advice to anybody. People say like, oh, how do you advise young people? It's like their advice not to listen to me because their input is not mine.
Right.
And what they go through and their experience is not mine. And I cannot be in a position, no matter how successful people think you are, your story is different. And what works for me doesn't have necessarily to work for other people. So this kind of like unsolicited advice that people give and in a way that kind of takes away from your own struggle. It's like, oh, thank you, Einstein. I don't know why I didn't think of that, you know?
Yeah. And it is what you were saying before, too, that it's like you are, it's something that is not as easy to pin down. There isn't a specific formula. It isn't a professor saying, great, all you have to do to repeat this success is study just as hard as you did. Here's the books to read, whatever.
And there's no manual for that.
Right. And from an outsider's perspective, I mean, those lyrics to me, I felt like it was also this, you know, Peter Pan keeping young, but also just saying, you've done this before, stay in the same place, do the same things, repeat that formula, whatever you did, keep doing it because we're going to make money together. If you just keep, you know, I believe in you that you can repeat the success you've had before. And again, it's like, what kind of advice is that? And how you can't get into that artist's brain and say, boom, here you go. Here's your inspiration. Here's the next thing. It has to come from them.
Yeah. 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 So again, that's why, like, I think the life of an actor or a creative or a comedian is very lonely, because just, I don't know, it's like if people think it's easier or because they don't see that there's a lot of caveats and drawbacks and things that you have to go through. And it is very easy to be celebrated when you're good, when you're killing it, but there's like a lonely part of like when things are not going as well as you might think, and it's a very lonely place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it is that kind of double-edged sword where you're isolated because it's all got to come from you, but I guess trying to be optimistic, you also have the control and you are the one who gets to decide what comes next. I know there are outside forces and there are pressures that people feel from, you know, agents and managers and studio heads and whoever, but ultimately you get to choose, which is nice. I think that is a lovely note to finish on. This has been so fun. This is really lovely conversation. Yeah. I really appreciate you making time for me.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again to Bossum for chatting with me. You can catch him on tour in the UK and Europe in April with more tour dates to follow later in the year. And you can get info on all of that at bossumyusuf.xyz. And that's about it for this time around. Please follow me on social media at Spark Parade.
please rate the show 5 stars and leave me a lovely little review wherever you can. And until next time, bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.